Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I've not heard. Support for the Bubba Army Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game, along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba. Have you smelled Manscaped's refined body wash, fellas? The ladies love their signature scent. You and your boys will be so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0, and inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker and nose trimmer, crop preserver and ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all the goodies. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up the top of your nose and ears. Nothing's worse than that nose hair. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Keep your balls trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped.
Heard from Hogan all week.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Is he mad at you?
I don't know. Not one bit.
You got heat.
We might got heat.
We might have heat.
Yeah, well.
The world knows him as the immortal Hulk Hogan, but we know him as Hootie. Hulk Hogan is on the phone.
You and I got heat?
No, bro. No, I just...
I haven't heard from you in about a week. I'm like, wow, we must have heat.
No, man. It's been in the trenches. Nick and Brooke came into town and then been going through all these depositions and all this crazy stuff.
All right, I just want to make sure we ain't got no heat, because I'm like, man, last time I saw Hogan was last Friday, and here it is. So it's been almost a week, and we don't go usually a day or two without at least touching base. I just want to make sure my man's okay.
No, I'm all right, man. We just... been running hard trying to get stuff right. I'm just half asleep, as you can tell.
Yeah. I guess, Brookie, I had some people from the Packers see Brooke perform last, I think it might have been Saturday night, in Grisk, Wisconsin, said she killed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Said that I had a guy, my buddy Adam, who works for the Packers, said, I'm at some festival, and Brooke Hogan's here, and she is killing it. The fans going crazy. Should I introduce myself? He was backstage and stuff because he's part of the Packers. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Tell him that you're my friend and what have not. And I guess, so he met her, and Brooke was very gracious. He then called me back and go, what a nice person, man. He goes, as soon as I mentioned your name, well, she was nice anyway, but as soon as I mentioned your name, she really took some time out and talked to me. And I said, she knows how to work like her pops. She knows how to work.
No, she's that way anyway, bro. She's not working.
No, I know she's not working. I mean, she knows she gets it. She's a good person, and she gets it. Some celebrities are dicks. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I get. I was going to call you yesterday because we've been in the trenches, but for the Bubba Army, you know, I'm always asking them for a favor. You know what I mean? So here's another favor. We're actually in the truce mode with Linda and her lawyers. We were in the middle of doing depositions, and we were doing Charlie Hill's deposition, and, you know, right when it was getting ready to get real, real crazy, there was a break, and I happened to stumble into Charlie Hill in the hallway, you know, and I just told him, don't worry, I'm not going to kill you, I'm not going to hurt you, because there was a few minutes, probably 15 or 20 minutes of his deposition where he said he was in fear for his life and, you know, had left a couple jobs because he was scared that I was going to kill him. I just happened to stumble into him in the hallway right when they took the break and no one was around and kind of in the hallway by himself. And I just saw he wasn't, you know, on real sure footing when I ran into him, and I didn't want, you know, anybody to think, you know, if he, you know, tripped or fell down or anything that I did anything. So I said, hey, dude, and, you know, let's just back off all this. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to hurt you. So one thing led to another, and our lawyers started talking. So we spent probably half the day talking about possibilities, and one of the things they asked is during this neutral period or this ceasefire time, if I would, if we could back off on all the publicity, especially Bubba the Love Sponge.
You mean my minion? Your minion?
My minion, Bubba the Love Sponge. So, you know, if I'm asking the Bubba Army, let's hold a ceasefire here until we see the whites of their eyes.
Well, you know, I like to take this opportunity to tell all the Bubba Army right now, you know, because I have a bunch of wars. The Bubba Army has been in the middle of a bunch of battles, Brent.
They're just like the U.S. Army. Right. They got wars on many fronts.
And if you ever see MJ out and about, be a gentleman. I mean, I can't tell you what to say verbally, but be a gentleman as far as don't ever threaten him physically or anything like that, or his family or his kids or his personal possessions. Absolutely. That's not what we're all about. I don't care what you say. You know, but and then secondly, I guess with this Linda Hogan situation, you know, the Bubba Army, man, it'll get you. The Bubba Army will get you.
No, it's mainly with you and me. Because I guess, you know, maybe I'm still half asleep. Maybe it's my mistake. It's mainly with you and me because if we could continue talking here, and we're going to talk again on the 7th, if we can continue talking and settle this thing, it's like you said, Bob, it'd be the best thing for everybody.
It would be. It'd be the best thing for everything, and everything could move forward, and then we could get with the Grazianos, you could, and you could settle that, make sure they're taken care of and compensated, and that there's a life plan for John Graziano. And then, Terry, at that point, everybody can pick up the pieces and start to regroup on what they're going to do in life, including Linda. I mean, like, even on a positive thing for Linda. Linda can now, this takes a lot of her time and a lot of her energy and zaps a lot of things out of her. She can do whatever she's going to do in life, and then you can subsequently move on in a positive direction and start concentrating on what you want to do. But with all this negative, dark cloud, he said, she said stuff, it's just, it's very counterproductive.
And no, it is, and you're right. So, you know, you and I need to do a ceasefire until we see what happens.
You called off your minion. Your minion's officially done. I'm done until you fire me back up.
Right. It was getting, the next couple months going to get real crazy anyway, and I felt real bad going down the path we were going legally, but we've been pushed into that corner, so
right.
Actually, it's something.
Well, you know what? I got to commend Rafel for having the wherewithal to be able to recognize that things are about ready to shift
but
gears.
It didn't go down that way.
Well, you know what?
It went down where Charlie and I talked first, and right when I was talking with Charlie, Linda came up and she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know if we were gonna, you know, shake hands or square off. She just kind of like saw us talking, so she came out of nowhere and split up, and I said, hey, dude, I just want to be friends with everybody. This is ridiculous. This is crazy that the judge doesn't care. And I told him, I said, the judge doesn't care who smoked the last joint or partied, or he doesn't care about that. And all this personal stuff we're doing in the press is ridiculous. All the judge, it's a no-fault state. The judge is going to see if anybody lied, scammed, stole money, or wasted money, and then he's going to make a decision accordingly. But everything we're doing now, I told Linda, the millions and millions of dollars every month that are going out the door, it's ridiculous to say we're in the exact same place we were 18 months ago.
You're not in any better spot other than bunch of name calling.
18 months ago, but a lot less money. So I said, I'll talk to my lawyer. I would love to stop this ridiculous, you know, media circus. And she goes, well, you talk to yours, I'll talk to mine. And that's what we did. So Rafel, listen to what she said.
Well, good. I'm glad Linda did that. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad that Rafel would listen. I'm glad that Gina Hunter and Ann and David Houston listened. And I'm glad that we got some common ground and consider it done. You know, I'm on your team. You know that, but
hopefully we can come to some resolve.
Well, when were you going to call me up about this sort of thing? What if I would have played a couple anti-Linda deals today?
No, I was calling you this morning. Dude,
no, I called you.
No, I was calling you this morning. Dude, I've been under so much craziness here. We're mounting up for the civil case, and the thing is, it's more than that. We're mounting up for the civil case and the sheriff's thing, the sheriff case. So there's a lot of other stuff going, too. So I've been in the trenches with all kind of stuff.
All right, my man. Hey, we had did we have David Hebner or Earl Hebner?
It wasn't Earl.
It wasn't
Dave,
Earl.
Yeah.
Is it now? Is it? It's Dave and Earl Hebner. We had Dave on the phone a couple of days ago. He called. He lives. He listens to us out of Richmond. And man, that guy's really down and out. Man, he works at a bowling alley now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now let me ask you a question. He says we've gotten conflicting reports. Who was the ref? I know you know Terry. Who was the referee at WrestleMania 3 between you and Andre? Was it him?
No, it was Joey Morella. He passed away.
Okay, so Joey was the referee between you and Andre.
That was Gorilla Monsoon's son.
Oh, okay. So that was who the referee was.
Yeah.
And the boys were being smartass, you know, asking what a referee does in the business. I'm like, man, you have no idea. The referee does a lot. In fact, you know, the office will be talking to the referee in his earpiece and tell you to speed it up, slow it down, you know, hot tag, they're taking a shiz, whatever.
Well, the office doesn't know enough to tell you to speed it up. Oh, you mean go home.
Yeah, I mean, if you're running short on time on TV and you guys got to take it home.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was touching that in the tempo of the match. Good God, no. Nobody in the office knows enough about
no,
that.
No, but, well,
not,
you know.
Not even any of the agents.
But you know as well as I do, not with a veteran like yourself, but with some green guys out there, the office or the gorilla position will try to get involved and overthink it. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, I will tell you this, though. He did say this. You ready for this? And, you know, Dave Hebner's wrestled. I mean, he's, you know, him and Earl have, you know, done their share of, you know, legends in the referee business. I said, Dave, in your personal opinion, who was the worst guy as a referee to either have to call spots out to or, you know, tell him to get with it? And guess who he said the worst guy in the history? And you don't have to comment on this. Guess who he said the dumbest, worst wrestler as far as knowing what they're doing and listening was? Ultimate Warrior. He said
he wasn't a wrestler, dude.
He said that guy, all he did was go out and shake the ropes. And he said, I tell him, you know, we do this, do that, hot tag, you know, drop down.
Hold on a minute. Now I'm pulling my pants up. Hold on. Yeah, I told you to just woke up.
Hey, when you call a spot out to Jim, like if you said, you know, hit the Riz up, duck the clothesline, watch the biz, would he even know what you're talking about?
You go, No, he's probably, you couldn't do that with him.
Now, when you say Ultimate Warrior wasn't a wrestler, what do you mean? Like, was he never, like, trained officially or what?
Well, I guess him and Sting broke in California, this old guy named Red Bastien, who was one of the old school guys, was friends with Patterson and Ray Stevens. And during that area, that whole San Francisco era, they had a run out there in L.A., you know, with the Samoans. And,
right.
You know, they were like from the Olympic Auditorium, John Tolles, and all these old timers that were out there. That's where Fred Blassie made his mark.
Blassie, Freddie Blassie. He's the guy that first managed you against the Iron Sheik, didn't he?
Yeah, and this guy named John Tolles. There was a California thing where they were actually treated like movie stars in L.A., where they had their hang with Marilyn Monroe. And you know, people don't realize that even though wrestling is territorial, the guys that were working that California area for Mike LaBelle. Gene LaBelle's gay brother. Gene LaBelle's a judo guy. Bad boy, too. They were working in that L.A. area during the 50s. When wrestling first came on TV, they were treated like gods. I mean, they'd be walking the red carpet with Gene Kelly and Clark Gable. And, you know, and so this guy named Red Bastien, I almost forgot what I was talking about. This guy named Red Bastien, you know, when he got to be an old-timer, he started a wrestling school, and the Ultimate Warrior and Sting broke in there. I remember they were like that Max movie. It was Blade. They were called the Blade Runners.
Right.
And so Sting learned, and I'm sure the Ultimate Warrior was there every day that Sting was learning, but I don't know what happened to him. He didn't learn nothing. Or he was either totally uncoordinated or just really stupid or had no psychology. But the Ultimate Warrior was always bragging about being a chiropractor, which I think he is. And book smart, but he was a real idiot.
Man, Stinger ended up being a good worker, though, didn't he?
Oh, God, yeah.
Stinger could draw money. I mean, Stinger could draw money, couldn't he?
Yeah, he's got the gimmick. He could draw money. I loved him with the blonde hair and stuff. I mean, I haven't had a handful of matches with him, you know, and never really sat down and had to dig for 30 or 40 minutes. Never really had to do that very often in my career anyway, but, you know, never really sat down and went to psychological war with him in the ring to survive, but every time we got in there, it was so easy, we really didn't even have to think.
Whatever happened to Big Sid Justice, man? Did he die or is he still alive?
Oh, he's still running. Dude, he's ready to go.
Is he still looking good?
He looks exactly how he used to, kind of like me.
Yeah. Get you too. Get you back. Have you been talking to?
Hey,
have
you been talking? You go to YouTube and see where he broke his leg.
Oh, that happened years ago. It was the most disgusting thing. That was with WCW.
Hey, Spice, go to YouTube and punching Sid Justice's broken leg, and watch this. This is
I think I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's disgusting.
It's worse than that football player.
Yeah, Joe Theismann. Let me ask you a question.
It's worse than that. I'm telling you, punch it up right now.
Rumor has it. Now, we've seen it. Listen to me. Rumor has it that you and Dixie have been talking a lot lately.
Not me, brother.
No?
Nope. No, sir. I wish. Not me.
I thought you'd been to a...
And just, no.
Just for those scoring at home, anytime Hogan denies something like that, Brent, means it usually happens.
No, it's not that. There's just nothing. There's no common ground there, bro. There's not. I was talking to Vince until, God, I guess about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I haven't heard hiding or hair of him. We were getting talking about stuff, but that nothing happened there.
Nothing on Vince and nothing on Dixie right now.
No, nothing.
So you're on a little bit of a hiatus, huh?
No. I know there's a big lawsuit now. I know Cecil Barker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Doing the Big Show deal.
And you're involved in that somehow.
They got my name all over that, dog.
All right, honey. Hey, tell Brooke we love her, man. She's really on fire right now, man. I'm so proud of her.
Brooke's the doublebomb.com.
Hey, she's the only one that's got her act together in the whole Belay compound.
Hey, man. You know, calm down. I ran into a bunch of bad situations.
No, you'll get out of it. You'll Hulk out. You'll kick out. You're about on a 2.5 tap right now. You'll kick out. I think you will.
Dude, I'm down to 1.25 tap.
Yeah, I hope you kick out, man.
Spice, did you get that pulled up?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It's bad. It's terrible.
It's horrible.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
And then when his leg was broke and went totally out to the left.
We're not looking at it.
He broke his left leg, and his leg, his foot was facing the other way.
Oh, my God, Spice. Can you believe that? Look at that. Oh, jeez.
Steiner drops an elbow on him.
I know. After the Steiner elbow came in.
Look at that.
Like the added insult to injury. Look at that. Blam, right there.
Bam.
Where were you, Hootie? Where were you at?
Hey, is that some shiz or what?
That's some shiz with a Z. Now, where were you? Were you in the back just drinking Miller Lights? What were you doing?
I appreciate the run.
I don't know where I was, but that was a Johnny Laurinaitis situation. That was a suggestion. I guess he'd been asking Sid to sit on the top turnbuckle and put his both feet on the second rope. And as he jumped, Johnny Laurinaitis kept saying, oh, you got to do this spot. And as he jumped, he wanted Sid to hit someone with a big foot in the face and land on your left leg.
Yeah, because that's what it looks like. But
unreal.
Looks video.
Horrible. Look at that thing, man. Ugh. Yeah. And it's bad. It's bad.
That's something to show the kids in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. Anyway, buddy, I wanted to make sure you're okay. I got to see
something. Oh, yeah. Now you want me off the air now that you got all the dirt out of me, right?
Well, I learned how to work from the greatest worker
of
all time.
I'm just now waking up, bro. My coffee's kicking.
Man, I pulled a Hogan like you wouldn't believe, guys. You know how Hogan, he'll go into the locker room and he'll find wrestler A and wrestler B, and he'll get in between him, and because he's Hulk Hogan, he knows everything, and he'll stir it all up, right? And then he'll politely bow out, and then A and B want to kill each other. So I go up to my agent's office last night, agent Tom Bean A, and then my manager, Russ B. And Russ walks in, and they have something that we're talking about. Like, hey, and I bring this topic up that they both are very adamant about, and I go, let me... My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let me tell you something, Tom. Blah, 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 blah. And Ross, man, you know, Tom said blah, 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 blah. And they started going out. They started going out, and I go, "Hey fellas, I'm late for my Fox 13 stuff." And I left, and I shut the door, and they started going crazy. And I swear on my son's life, I chuckled and went, "Hoodie."
Oh no! Hey, what happened to Gina Hunter, man? What's Tom Beaner doing with her, man?
I think he's got her locked down, man. He's got her on lockdown. Why have you not?
Dude, we can't find hiding her hair ever, man.
813 divorce. 813 divorce.
See, divorce. 813 party and fly around the world.
813, yeah. 813, I'm going to the Masters on Tom's private plane. That's what it is.
And the Kentucky Derby.
And the Kentucky Derby, among other things, yeah.
What, he put some voodoo on her or something?
And yeah. And he, I think they're going to the Bahamas in their private plane this weekend. Yeah.
Dang, Tom Beaner's on the. I got his game on. He must introduce it to his little brother.
You know, he's getting it all in shape now. He's on.
Oh, he's always in shape.
Nah, he was kind of bloated like a toad for a while. Now he's in really good shape.
I saw him the other day walking around, man.
No. You didn't see him.
He had a gizzard kicking before.
Yeah, before, man, he looked like a real modern day 5'4" toad. But now he looks like a little wrestler kind of dude. He wrestled.
So you're not. Oh, don't even go there. You're not saying he looks like the MJ.
No, come on now.
No, he wrestled at Cornell. No, shoot style.
Yeah, I mean, he wrestled. He actually was a University of Cornell, you know, NCAA wrestler. Shoot style.
Oh, man. So, what, you know, I heard you rapping on him, MJ, coming back from his vacation to do the Billy Mays thing.
Yeah, what an absolute narcissistic exposing the family. He came back to do a Billy Mays tribute show to put himself over instead of paying homage to a guy that had just died. That would be like me coming back and doing a Hulk Hogan tribute show, but making it about me and not about you.
Oh, if he was at, you know, I don't want to get into the middle of this one because you know more about it than I do. But it seems like if he was Billy Mays' best friend and he gets a last phone call from Billy Mays and had the last word with Billy Mays even before he went to bed at night, even talked to him last, even before Billy Mays' wife, it seemed like he'd have been so destroyed,
yeah,
so tore up that he wouldn't have been able to talk. I was rattled about it. I know some other people like Rick McIntosh.
Yeah, and Kevin
and other
Harrington.
People are totally screwed, yep, right now. They're just still, legs are shaking.
Kevin Harrington, the big infomercial guy, is the major investor of the Pitchman, and he's beside himself right now. That was a great show. And the bottom line is, Hogan, when you have to take a picture of your cell phone and put it on the website to prove that you spoke to somebody, to solidify and validate that you're friends, then you're really not a friend. Like, for instance, you know, I wouldn't have to put my phone, a picture of my phone, on the website to prove that I spoke to you last night. We've established that we have a friendship, and it people would just believe me. But if you're that insecure, Brent, and you have that many naysayers as to what you're really doing and for what.
You just have to show them your closet and all your dress-up outfits with your maid outfit and your stewardess outfit, and put Hootie's maid and Hootie's stewardess. You could just show them your sexical closet full of gimmick clothes.
Or all those pictures that I have of you and I together.
And Hootie's right. When you lose a friend, you're tore up about it. No, the last thing you're worried about is doing every interview that comes out.
I'm going to be honest with you. If Hogan died, I could not be...
Easy on the Hogan.
But hold on.
Good God,
or if I died...
Don't be throwing that out there, then I'll have to go in two more people. You might be one of them. Don't even go there.
If any of my very, very close, very, very, very close friends die, Brent, I could not grant an interview immediately thereafter, and I could not go on the show the next day and talk to their survivors. I would be with the family, or privately grieving and trying to help with funeral arrangements. The body had to be sent to Pittsburgh, seeing how the family's doing. You know, Terry and I, you know, if something happened to you, the first person I'd call would be Brooke and Nick. Brooke and Nick, what can I do for you? What's going on? We have to start thinking about some things. What are we going to do? A, B, C, and D. What do you think's going to happen? I mean, there's just a lot of infrastructure that you got to get done. And the last thing you can do is think about doing a 5-hour radio program paying homage to this guy.
Yeah, it's happened to all of us in the room. It's happened to all of us in the room, and we've all been like mentally
really tore up inside. We weren't worried about marking
out. And I got on the air
and
I said, you know, you're a fraudulent little narcissistic midget. And
it'd be impossible. It'd be impossible to do a five-hour show if he would talk to Billy and they were that tight. It'd be impossible.
When your father died, Terry, and I wasn't, I mean, I loved Pete. You know, he's not my dad, but I loved him as much as anybody. And, you know, you are an entertainer. And you could not have gone and done what you do as an entertainer and wrestle. There is no way for you. You could have gone back to work for, I don't know, a week, two, three. There's just no way. There's just no way you could have done that.
No, no, I could not have actually calculated and left.
No.
And gone to work. There's no way. There's no way. It's impossible. So, you know, it was, I didn't want to get into it. It's not even...
Unless
a thought process that would work.
And if he claimed to be such a good friend, man, then I would hope that he's one of the six pallbearers, Brent, which I can promise you that he's not going to be. Then you're really not that good of a friend.
Right.
And you know what?
Well, I don't know if he's a pallbearer or not. Where's the funeral?
He didn't even go to the funeral. The funeral's in Pittsburgh tomorrow. He didn't even go to the funeral.
Yeah, and Billy played football for West Virginia. He's from that area. Yeah. So.
You know, I know that you had a lot of interaction with Billy.
Hey,
he was a
great
guy.
You know what was so sad is my TV in the bedroom didn't work, you know, so I called my boy Chip over to fix it.
Right.
And, all of a sudden, the sound was working. He got it done, and I didn't look at the TV at all. And then last night, I sat on the edge of the bed and I kind of scanned the channels. And I'll be damned! There's Billy Mays getting on a plane with Sully, private plane. I don't know which episode it was that just blew me away. That I turned the TV on and it showed Billy getting on a plane with
you and
Sully.
Billy. You and Billy were actually because you know you've done some commercials and stuff. You know, you and Billy were fairly good acquaintances, weren't you?
Well, the truth is, bro, I. Wasn't really a good acquaintance of his. I considered him a friend.
Right.
We'd met him several times. What happened was when I did that Hulk Hogan grill.
Right.
Rick McIntosh came to me and he goes, you know, Billy's really nervous, and he it was a Hulk Hogan gimmick. He was the Mystique. He was scared to death of me. He didn't know me.
Right.
And I told Rick McIntosh, I said, are you kidding me? I said, I'm not doing this infomercial without him.
Right.
We shot 3 days, and what I would do. Because he was so good, what I would do is I'd go, Billy, do that line for me and show me how to move. And I'd say, okay, roll the cameras. I would actually imitate him. And I did it for 3 days.
So he'd do it. He'd dry run it first, and then you'd imitate him.
And he wouldn't be a whole walkthrough. It would be like two lines. It'd be like, you know, when Nick finally received the heavy date for his court case. And then I'd stop. And I'd do the exact same thing. I'd say exactly what he said. And then we ended up going to London together to do QVC, and we had a blast. It was great. But that's my only interaction with him. But, dude, this guy was walking. You know how somebody that had good like a six-inch shorter leg? I mean, I'm not joking. I mean, if someone had a six-inch shorter leg, you saw not someone that's got multiple sclerosis or anything, but you've seen people that walk with they really hunch back, and they really are way off kilter. It looks so weird to see Billy was walking around like that. I said, dude, you got to get that hip fixed. Are you kidding me? It's almost like he's sticking his leg totally straight, the left leg out to the side about 2 feet and try to walk that way.
So I think Dr. Hughes, the guy who did your hip, end up was scheduled to do Billy's hip.
Yeah, because he had two bad ones, and the second one he had an infection. So it was. I saw him on a plane, you know, and it just blew my mind because I know. And I saw the interview 2 days before where he got off in a Bay News diner where the local stations interviewed him, but
it's just
a sad day.
It's a sad day. The little narcissistic jackass has to try to. But you know what? Thank God for us, Spice, because we were able to expose.
Let me ask you a question. Did he really know him?
No. In fact, I have a lot of good people that have got a hold of me privately and said, when the dust settles, the time is not now. The guy's not even been buried yet. But when the time is right, which could be a week, could be 2 months, when the time is right, when the time is right, Brent, either the wife or somebody that's related to the family is going to come on and expose MJ for what he did.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? Take your time. I'm not going anywhere. I'm, you know, unlike him or you know, you schedule it now.
I
got to have it now. I'm like, you know what? Take your time. Grieve. Let the family get over it. And when they want to tell their side of the story, I'm available at any time. That's
wow.
That's how you handle things.
Wow.
Anyway, Hootie, I'll give you a call later today.
Yeah. You never call me later in the day.
I gotta ask you a couple questions.
Full of it.
I gotta
ask you. How many times does Bubba go, I'll cut him off here. I'll call you on driving home. I'll call you on driving to Smyrna. You never call me once.
You're such a martyr because I do. And secondly, I wanted to see how Hangman's working out for you.
I'll call you. Ask me, I'll tell you. I got a big problem with that deal. Wait till I tell you about that.
Of course you do. You're so unappreciative. All you do is take.
No. It's a physical problem.
Oh, okay. I said it's not my problem. I did what I was supposed. I did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will see if you call because I got something I need to talk to you about too.
All right, I'll call. I'll be on your phone by 11 o'clock.
Oh yeah, right.
I will, bitch. I'll be on your phone by 11 o'clock. I'm calling Linda up, man. I'm going to be joining Team Linda.
Linda's actually, when I talked to her the other day, I was so happy to talk to her because I get to tell the kids that I talked to their mom. And it was the first time that I can't remember talking to her last.
Was it really uncomfortable?
Or was it positive?
You know what it was? It was just so, and I don't even know what the word surreal means, but whatever that word is, it was so weird. It was just like there was no yelling, no screaming, no fighting. It felt like I could have been standing in my kitchen when
10 years
ago. With Nick and Brooke were like 5 and 7 years old, and we were getting along perfectly. It felt like that was the Linda I was talking to.
Was there any attraction?
Come on, Spice.
What? I think that's a valid question.
There is, because she's a beautiful lady, and just haven't. And everybody knows that, man. It's just that,
hold on, stop. Just everybody stop it.
We're working ourselves into a
into a shoot, man. We're shooting ourselves into a work.
No, I all you want about that.
No, hold on. No, we're not working ourselves into a shoot, Brent. I'm going to come up with a whole new tune. We're shooting ourselves into a work. That's what we're doing. We're shooting ourselves into a work.
No, good point.
We're shooting ourselves into a work is what we're doing.
You'd be doing another jizz up, brother.
You're doing a job. I will tell you, man, I think the public is ready for this. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm the people's hammer. I'm the spokesperson for the average person. I think the people are ready for a change with you guys. And changing it up a little bit like this and trying to be civil, I think, is the right move. I really do.
You know, but we've gone back and forth and back and forth. And the truth is, it was going to get so dirty and so nasty, I was not looking forward to it. And, you know, I know what we were going to do and what we've done with our due diligence and everything. I just didn't want to go there. It just was going to get so insane that it wasn't going to be pretty, and I just am so happy that we're talking.
All right, Hootie, I got Jim Florentine standing by.
Who's Jim Florentine?
He is a comedian, and he dated Robin, Howard's Robin.
Say what?
Yeah,
Did he still have it out for me?
Yeah. Well, I think she likes you. You mean as in have it out for you bad? You don't think she likes you?
Well, she was always jabbing me when
sometimes she's
gotta, that's what she
well,
does.
Well, sometimes, man, she's got to be the bearer of the tough questions because it comes across a lot more better when she does it.
And one
that's
time,
how Howard works. See, Howard's a good worker. He'll say, hey, listen, I think if I ask this question, it'll be too stiff. But if Robin asks, it's a woman, a black woman asking it. Hell, I can't go wrong with that.
I want to talk to somebody that knows Howard Stern real good, like 25 Cent, you know?
Well, he's the last person who knows Howard Stern, but yes. Well, anyway.
Because I need to ask Howard. I don't know. It might be too late. I totally forgot, but I was supposed to ask Howard if he'd do Brooke's mixtape. Because he might. Because he does like Brooke.
I don't know that. You're gonna have to. You know what? You're gonna have to talk to Brent about that privately.
Brent, call Howard because I know he's a good friend of yours, and Bubba don't know him for shizit. And maybe Howard and ask him if he'd be on Brooke's mixtape because he does like Brooke.
I'll talk to Baba Booey and see what he says.
Yeah, who's Baba Booey?
Gary.
Who?
Gary.
I'm talking about Howard Stern, not some Dingleberry.
You're an idiot. So in order to talk to Howard, you got to talk to Gary first.
Oh, to Gary. I thought you said Barry. Hmm. You guys have wasted enough of my time.
Yeah. I'll call you by 1 o'clock today.
I thought it was 11:30.
God, you're so easy to work into a shoot. You're so easy to work, man. The world's greatest worker is now the most vulnerable heat getter.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll call you later. You can work him. You can just work him, Spice, right down the path.
Oh, and then after that, you could go on, I'll call you at 2.
Hey, and Spice, we didn't look at that video.
No.
We didn't even look at that video. I saw that video 12 years ago.